I wanted the world to know what happened to us and to help our community recover and to take some steps to make sure that what happened would never happen again in Iraq or anywhere else in the world.
That is Nadia Murad, who was honored with the Nobel Peace Prize in 2018. A native of Iraq, Nadia was subjected to sexual violence, used as a weapon of war by ISIS. She has been working on behalf of victims and against sexual violence ever since. I'm Milan Verveer, and this is Seneca's 100 Women to Hear. We're bringing you 100 of the world's most inspiring and history-making women you need to hear. Nadia Murad is a survivor. In 2014, when she was 19 years old, ISIS militants carried out a genocide against her Yazidi community, a minority group of 500,000 people in northern Iraq. During the genocide, ISIS killed her mother and six of her brothers and half-brothers. Nadia was kidnapped and forced into sexual slavery, along with 6,000 other Yazidi women and girls. She managed to escape and soon after began speaking out about human trafficking and sexual violence. Today, she is working to bring ISIS to justice for their genocide against the Yazidi community. And she serves as a UN Goodwill Ambassador for the Dignity of Survivors of Human Trafficking. I sat down with Nadia Murad for a conversation as part of the podcast Seeking Peace, produced by the Georgetown Institute for Women, Peace, and Security. Let's listen and learn why Nadia Murad is one of Seneca's 100 women to hear. Nadia, you grew up in a Yazidi community in the Sinjar district of Iraq. Take our listeners back to your childhood. What was it like growing up in Sinjar?
So I was born and raised in the small village of Kojo. It's south of Sinjar Mountain in northern Iraq. My family was large and close, as most families were in Kojo and in other villages in South Sinjar. We lived a simple life. We were farmers who worked the land. My mother, she was the head of our household, and I always looked up to her. She was strong and independent. It was not a common thing in our community. She worked hard to support my family, my siblings. We were 11 siblings, so she worked hard to support us. And she is in large part why I am the person I am today.
And then, on August the 3rd, 2014, something terrible happened.
These are Yazidis taking to the barren Sinjar Mountains to escape the Islamic State fighters after the militants had seized the minority community's stronghold.
ISIS attacked the Mount Sinjar region, killing and kidnapping thousands of members of your community.
Followers of this ancient religious sect made the journey knowing they were likely to find themselves stranded with little or nothing to survive on.
You and your loved ones were directly affected by this terrible genocide. And fortunately, you managed to escape. You found refuge in Germany. And sometime later, you became United Nations Goodwill Ambassador for the Dignity of Survivors of Human Trafficking. What was it that enabled you, after going through so much difficulty, so many horrors, what enabled you to decide to share your experience?
You know, when I decided to share my experience, it wasn't easy. But I did it because I wanted more than anything to seek justice for my community, for my family, for my mother. I wanted the world to know what happened to us and to help our community recover and to take some steps to make sure that what happened would never happen again in Iraq or anywhere else in the world. I'm grateful that my words have reached so many people around the world. Before that, not many people knew who the Yazidi were. And now they know. They know what has happened and what has been done to my community. But unfortunately, like many vulnerable communities, once our story disappears, or once they said ISIS was defeated, the world leaves us behind. And my community continues to suffer, as you know, to this day. They still need help.
What is the status of the Yazidi community today?
ISIS may have been defeated in Sinjar, but Yazidis continue to feel the effects of genocide. 6 years later, over half of the Yazidi community in Iraq is still displaced inside their own country. These people survived genocide and displacement, only to be left in camps without the support they need to return to their homelands and rebuild their lives. 6 years later, no efforts have been made by either the Iraqi government or the international community to rescue these women and children. They feel the world has forgotten them. Despite all of this, Yazidis are returning to Sinjar because the camps are not a solution. They are not sustainable, and Yazidis know they cannot stay in that camps forever.
Seneca's 100 Women to Hear will be back after this short break.
It is estimated that between 6 and 10,000 Yazidis were kidnapped, some of them held in captivity for years. And over half a decade since the massacre, 2 to 300,000 Yazidis remain in camps in northern Iraq as internally displaced persons, or IDPs. When the headlines are no longer, people do forget. But you haven't forgotten, and your work goes on. You also teamed up with Amal Clooney to bring justice to the Yazidi community. Tell us about your efforts to take ISIS to the International Criminal Court, and what is happening in those efforts?
Yeah, as you know, I have been working with Amal Clooney for the past few years to hold ISIS accountable. And I am lucky to call her a friend.
I am legal counsel to Nadia and to other Yazidi women and girls who were kidnapped, bought, sold, enslaved, and raped by ISIS. But it was clear from an early stage that this was going to be a challenge. The world's powers were focused on a military solution, and nobody wished to speak about justice. So we fixed on one imperative. We could not allow the evidence to disappear.
Working with Amal and member states at the UN, we were able to help create the UNITA team, which is working to collect evidence of ISIS crimes. We are trying to build cases against ISIS perpetrators. Survivors of sexual violence and the Yazidi community would like to see ISIS held accountable in public court.
We celebrated the moment 4 weeks ago when the team, working alongside the Iraqi authorities, began to exhume mass graves and identify the victims' remains. This first step in any criminal inquiry was a cathartic moment for many Yazidi families, and we are encouraged to hear that the investigation in Iraq is now fully underway.
We want to see countries try their foreign nationals, and right now, only a few of European countries including Germany, France, and Netherlands, are holding their foreign nationals accountable. Many other states have refused to do so or have tried perpetrators as terrorists.
You know, Nadia, it's so anguishing to hear about the conditions that you just described and what the Yazidi community is still going through. And I know that you have not stopped for a moment trying to help your people. Nadia's initiative, the initiative that you have set up to continue to help your community, is something that you are devoting yourself to very, very significantly.
So Nadia's initiative has been working in Sinjar for the past 2 years. Our primary focus is to rebuild what ISIS destroyed. We have rebuilt many schools and farms, healthcare centers, homes, water services, and electricity. We also have projects that empower women, especially survivors, by providing them with tangible support. Something that is very much needed in the region is a new hospital. We are working on building a new hospital now with the support of the French government and President Macron. We continue to advocate on behalf of the Yazidi community and survivors of sexual violence. We have worked with the French government to relocate women and children. I also worked with Canada and Australia to relocate survivors and their families to those countries.
You know, it's so inspiring to hear about what Nadia's initiative is doing, to understand how critical your work is to continuing to help the community. It's not possible to do this work, I know, without support. Our listeners hearing you today and hearing how much need there is, how can they support Nadia's initiative?
I think they can raise awareness on their platforms, and they can do it in their communities and talk about the Yazidi case, because our struggle is not over. You can read more about what happened to my community in my book, The Last Girl. You can write to your government leaders and ask them to advocate for Yazidis and support organizations who are working with Yazidis and survivors of sexual violence.
You have gone through a great deal personally, but you have taken all of that experience and made a commitment to help your people. You have been resilient. You have been an inspiration. Being informed is critically important. But I also hope, Nadia, that many will step forward to support Nadia's initiative in support of a community of people who have gone through so much and continue to need all of the help and assistance to be able to survive and hopefully in the future truly thrive. So thank you so much, Nadia. We really appreciate your being with us today on Seeking Peace.
Thank you so much. Thank you to you for having me. It was great to be with you.
What a remarkable woman. It's so inspiring to hear her hopes and plans for a better tomorrow. Here are some things I took away from my conversation with Nadia Murad. First, even when it's painful, it's important to share our stories. That's how we make progress. Nadia was able to talk about her terrible experiences because she had a mission: to secure justice for her people against ISIS. Second, in the whirlwind of the day's news, we can't forget that there are other causes and other battles going on in other parts of the world. There are communities in crisis, like Iraq's Yazidi community, and there are survivors of sexual violence who need our help. You can help by supporting Nadia's initiative. Go to nadiasinitiative.org. And you can learn more about her story in her book, The Last Girl, My Story of Captivity and My Fight Against the Islamic State. Tune in on Thursday to learn about our next featured woman and discover why she's one of Seneca's 100 Women to Hear.
Seneca's 100 Women to Hear is a collaboration between the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio, with support from founding partner P&G. If you like what you heard on the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. We hope you'll join us for our next episode of 100 Women to Hear, where we can all listen, learn, and get inspired. Have a great day.